Welcome to Awaken Calls. Every Saturday, we host conversations with guest speakers from all walks of life. Speakers whose personal journeys awaken and inspire our innate spirit of service. Thank you for coming together to plant seeds for a more compassionate society.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Birju, and I will be your host for our weekly Global Awaken Call. Today, our special guest is Sonia Deotto, and someone who really embodies today's theme of art along with transformation. Here's how the call works. In a couple minutes, our moderator, Audrey Lynn, will engage in a deep dialogue with our speaker. And by the top of the hour, which is 10 a.m. Pacific time, we will shift into a question and answer with a space to share for those who are calling in today. So once again, this week's theme is the mixture of art and transformation, and specifically this question of how practicing in the world of the aesthetic has impacts on community and society over time. And since we have the pleasure of our moderator, Audrey Lynn, joining us, I thought we could start by asking her to kick off our circle. To give you some context, Audrey has been a volunteer with Service Space for coming up on 10 years now, and over the last few years has been really deepening the direction of how creativity and aesthetic can be brought into Service Space as well. Audrey, thank you for joining us. I'd love for you to take over and begin the conversation if you'd like.
Sure. Thank you, Birju. Welcome, Sonia, and hello, everybody on the call. Just to give a little introduction to Sonia, you may have read a bit about her, but she is a co-founder and executive director of Aura World Mandala, which is a global peace movement whose objective is to use art and activism to spread the practice of ahimsa. And ahimsa translates to nonviolence. But she didn't have, you know, it's not like she was born at the Gandhi Ashram or that she grew up in any. She started out in Italy, and she trained in Italy as a social artist. And then in 1999, she had a life-changing encounter with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who ended up encouraging her to study and immerse herself in Gandhian philosophies. And so she ended up in India, at the Gandhi Ashram, studying, you know, from people there who have kind of lived and worked in the spirit of Gandhi, and now has been working with a lot of different communities, from artists to religious communities to farmers to educators, all different walks of life, and really just organizing and weaving community around. You know, building a more peaceful and compassionate world. And I think currently, and this, like, the strength of her dedication is amazing because she actually yesterday just spent hours driving to a farming collective in Mexico where she is right now. And at this farmers cooperative, they've been, you know, they started with farming sugar 40 years ago and then moved to bamboo. And then now they're a movement of like 60,000 people really living simply, and living, you know, peacefully, with little, but sharing for all. And she's been working with them for the last 1.5 years, training them on the qualities of nonviolence, different values, and, you know, facilitating social transformation through hands and hearts. And so I feel like you are a wellspring of stories, Sonia, and that there's so many places we could start. I know also that she divides her time between India and Mexico and has seen a lot in a lot of different cultures. So, Sonia, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with us. How are you today?
Thank you, Audrey, and thank you, everyone, sisters and brothers, for sharing this time, this morning, and in the waiting of Mahatma Gandhi's birth anniversary. And I want to send you also in behalf of our co-workers of the cooperative union Tosepa Antitataniske United, we will win in Nahuatl, the best for the life and the light and the inspiration. And so I'm very grateful to spend this time with you.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful. And I hope you're staying dry in the rain over there. I hear it's
yes,
raining quite
a bit. We are in a forest side of Mexico called Sierra Norte de Puebla. And it's a very inspiring place, full of nature and life, and with a spiritual and social revolution going on through the heart of the heart, hand, and head of the farmers of these cooperative unions. It was really a wonderful discovery for us to find Gandhi in Mexico. So that is why we are here, so we can drive for hours or walk for hours. It doesn't matter, but we have to reach this place and be all together. So you have your home here also.
Ah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and that's right. You are there on the eve of the birthday of Gandhi, October 2nd, where you're organizing a bunch of different kind of activities in his spirit. And the first question I wanted to ask you is, you know, a lot of your current work is centered around Gandhian values. And I feel like, you know, just from my limited conversations with you, I feel like I can feel your spirit and the conviction with which you really, you know, practice being the change you wish to see in the world. So I'm curious, growing up, were you always inclined towards, you know, values of truth and nonviolence and compassion? Did you have early influences in your childhood or in your young adulthood that kind of led you towards that path? Or what was your upbringing like in Italy?
In Italy, for many people like me, Gandhi was known through the movie. So it was something that it was almost a kind of a training for the children to see this movie and get some inspiration. But Gandhi and his spirit came in my life through my work and my service, basically, for a call that was given by His Holiness the Dalai Lama after some years of researching in the mandala. I was working in Italy as an art curator and artist, and then when in my path I had the fortune and the blessing to meet His Holiness, then I had a kind of a breaking the paradigms of the mind and putting the mind in the heart as a practice of understanding our reality. So from that, I started to research on this mandala concept. And then from a concept, it became an awareness, an expression of awareness, and then an intention of peace and social and spiritual transformation through the action. Mm-hmm. So the vision of a world mandala and the remembering that we are all one and we are all belonging to the same interdependent five elements is basically the inspirational origin of this Gandhian mandala. And then His Holiness thought that I had to learn and work with the people who are in the Ahimsa movement and try to integrate Ahimsa as the hub of this word mandala. So he sent me to the Gujarat Vidyapith, that is the university founded by Mahatma Gandhi in 1920, in Ahmedabad, where I'm still based. And from Gujarat Vidyapith, I met many wonderful people in Sabarmati Gandhi Ashram and and I could really get a very strong inspiration and energy from them. Mm-hmm. Like this, to understand that also I have to serve, that life, our meaning of life is service, and it's the only way for making of the understanding in front of our eyes, to see from space a world mandala, and then we cannot be in peace if other people are not in peace. So that's why we have to serve and to be constructors of this ahimsa. Hmm. That is basically the how Gandhi came in this this work.
Can you describe a bit? I'm not sure everyone on the call knows what a mandala is. Can you describe a bit about the mandala concept, or just what is a mandala?
Sure.
And how did you kind of immerse yourself in that concept?
Sure. I'm sure that many of us have seen the Tibetan monks making this beautiful work of art that are a spiritual and vision of peace and harmony called mandalas. And this is one of the expressions. The mandala is an archetype for peace and harmony. And is basically the perception of combined structures that are encircling a unifying center. So if we visualize, it's a very ancient concept that is taking shape from different visions or different traditions. This I could verify it during the time of research in India as a land of all religions and traditions. So a microcosm of cultures and religion. And then in this concept, the external reality is perceived basically as a reflection of the human consciousness. So to understand the interdependence of the five elements, earth, fire, water, air, and space, and their interdependence and resonance that is belonging also. We belong to the earth. So we are composed by the five elements, and through the earth and the interconnection between our body and the planet, we can understand this not anymore as a concept, but is the essence of our reality. So if you visualize the world, the planet, from space, you can see that is a word, mandala. And in the origin, in the Sanskrit word, the mandala means a circle. So we are, we belong to this wonderful circle of harmony and peace. If we go close to this circle, then we will see that maybe some disturbances, disorders are happening. And if we go into ourselves, we will realize the same. So the work for harmonizing ourselves in this concept and understanding of interdependence of the all elements combined through a unifying center is basically the vision that we try to remember, because it's not a new concept. It's a very ancient concept. It's our ancestral understanding. So it's a kind of practice through which we can dedicate our life and the service for reconstructing harmony and peace whenever is needed in areas where maybe some conflicts can happen, and starting from the micro to the macro.
I see. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful description. I've never heard it. I've had a general understanding of a mandala, but it's so beautiful the way you describe it as that practice of, you know, really offering yourself in that way. I'm curious, so you mentioned, you know, in 1999 when you were 28, you met the Dalai Lama and he encouraged you to go to India, and then you ended up spending quite a lot of time in India, and you're still there in some ways, in many ways, often during the year.
Yes.
And so how is your, you know, what was your journey like there from spending time at Gujarat Vidyapeeth? Like, where did you begin? You know, I mean, first of all, not everyone has the opportunity to meet the Dalai Lama, but then not everyone gets told by the Dalai Lama, go and spend time, you know, learning from, you know, these Gandhian values, go to the Gandhi ashram. So where do you begin after hearing something like that?
Yeah, so at that time I was working in Italy, so I was working in the art world. I grew up in that world. So certainly after an exploration of the art world, I was feeling really useless. I was feeling that art was serving the law of the power that is against the life. So I could not accept, basically, all that through that word. I could see a lot of injustice and many things. So I was very, I think that I had, I feel very blessed, because certainly I felt like a kind of call, and on Tibet. So Tibet came in my thoughts, and I thought that I had to start also exploring the art of Tibet, because the art of Tibet is the closest to spirituality, and through spirituality only we can transform ourselves. So if we can research for a kind of applied spiritual art, then I felt I can maybe find the meaning of my life. And then I started with something very scientific. It was an exhibition of Tibetan art. And then His Holiness was, Italy was planning to welcome His Holiness for the 10th years of the Nobel Peace Prize designation. And then I was a freelance at the time, so they requested me to think about something for the welcome of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And then I felt I didn't want to make just an exhibition. I understood that in this Tibetan art, something more was alive, something more was maybe possible to be shared with the others, and that something more was precisely the mandala, that it was the key among the different different levels of reality. So together with an encounter with different lamas, Rinpoches, during His Holiness teaching in Germany, I could understand that, yes, that it was what we had to do. So we prepared to welcome His Holiness tridimensional mandala. So first mandala was a tangible mandala in a museum, and that mandala was the mandala of Chandraji Avalokiteshvara, so the Buddha of love and compassion that His Holiness is manifesting, is embodying this Avalokiteshvara Buddha. And that the representation and the transformation of that museum was basically His Holiness' center. I thought that the center of His mandala is going to be the Buddha in the center of His home. So some alchemy or something maybe will happen as a participatory action during His welcome. So that is why this change of life started, because of that co-construction of that mandala to welcome this very wise figure At the time, I was not very much aware about His Holiness and the teachings of His Holiness, but it was, for me, a kind of intuition, artistic intuition, to approach this this new dimension of the reality.
Wow, and so then what did you do after, you know, after He told you to go to India?
He told me to go to India in the less expected moment of my life. So, yes, because I had no time to think, so I had to do it. He told me in a moment where, yes, where some disturbances, we had some problems during the opening of this tri-dimensional mandala art installation, so His Holiness could open it. But during the exploration of the same, then some problems, I mean, we had an emergency case, so we had to ask His Holiness to leave immediately the place for security reasons.
Wow.
So in that moment where everything was out of control in terms of security, so His Holiness found the time, a few seconds, to tell me to go to India. And then He told me, you come to India. You are Indian, you come to India. So I understood that I had no chance. My only, no way to go back. So after 1 month, I left Italy and I went to India and I went to Bodh Gaya. So it was straight to the, for me, it was straight to the source. And from that, I have started this research on the mandala concept. And thanks to the support and really a great opportunity that His Holiness could suggest this research, and meet many wonderful people, and studying with all of them, how can we remember a word mandala? So this word mandala is a construction, is a memory, basically, is a collective heritage of the essence of a possibility of a social transformation for making this planet a better place to stay.
That's beautiful. I was reading about some of the things that you did while you're, at the Gandhi Sabarmati Ashram, and I read that the first action that you took was, at the Gandhi Sabarmati Ashram in Ahmedabad. On April 23rd in 2005, you had 500 people from 8 different religious communities that came together and sang different devotional songs and worshipped and prayed and shared lunch in order to kind of share in that unity. Can you share a bit about some of that experience, or, you know, how do you, once you start researching something like a mandala, and, you know, kind of engaging with these people and learning about these deeper topics, how do you know what to do with all of that? Like, how do you know what action to take? and where did you begin in your own journey?
good question. Yes, but after a lot of research and visualizing a wonderful word mandala, and with many performances, and still too much artistic and not really useful, as I felt. I think that the wisdom of His Holiness is so great that He told me to go to Ahmedabad and to integrate and work for Ahimsa. So this word mandala without Ahimsa cannot be real. So how to make it real? So I went to Ahmedabad At the time, the chancellor of our university, of the Gujarat Vidyapeeth, was Sri Ravindra Varma. He was a freedom fighter, and he passed away in 2006. So he was very patient with me, because I had no idea about really how to make it real, you know, how to make this collective vision have something real, small but real. So in the small there is the beauty. You know, how can we start? So in terms of making something useful, so serving the people, when you right. go in a place where maybe they had some strong experience, like in Gujarat, because in 2002 the Gujarat riots were a very heavy experience for the people. So an interreligious conflict. And so our duty was to start with all of them. So the core group, the co-founders of this first action that we have done and projected together and planned together is 12 religious communities of Ahmedabad. So it was a one-to-one meeting, everyone one-to-one experience, and asking to all of them, one-to-one, so how can we do a world mandala now? We have to start from this reality, we have to start from our heart, we have to start from our intention. Why don't we make it together? So the first mandala was, as you were talking about, art and artivism, basically. It was done by the 12 communities who have decided to collect a handful of soil, and from each community, and each community deciding, for example, from where to collect this soil. So the same collection of the soil was a decision. It was a social decision. It was a spiritual decision. It was a collective decision, because all that soil could be offered in the same pot. I'm sure, Audrey, in Gujarat, you have seen this pot that they use to store grain and water.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first, that pot was our first mandala. So after a dialogue with all of them and taking the decision of offering this handful of soil in the same pot to overcome inner and outer conflicts, and then writing together a script. So it means from the morning till the night, till we don't feel that everyone has shared with the other the emotions, the inner, the most important things that our heart is suggesting, so we cannot stop this action. So the first action, we call it actions, mandala actions. The first action was 14 hours. From the sunrise till night. And why? Because everyone had something to share with the others. So it was a kind of cathartic process. Only at the end, with the prayers, silence, eating together, then it was amazing, as you know, in India. Now, maybe on that particular day, the Jain community cannot eat the green items. And maybe another community is fasting that day. So we had to decide, for example, also how to eat together in the same moment, in the same day. It was an amazing interreligious dialogue and full of creativity, full of imagination. And then only at the end of this long day, that handful of soil was put in that, was offered in that pot. So the whole process, the whole preparation, the script, the decisions, how the children can participate, how the art, how the setting of our action can be developed. And it was really a wonderful learning process. So from that process, Audrey, I also could understand something. So how can we do it? So we have developed it together. So we have started to understand something together. And from that first action, we have developed many actions. And then from that, the different constructive programs, as Mahatma Gandhi could have called them, made by the same communities. And one of these constructive programs is our interreligious orchestra called AHOP, Ahmedabad Harmonic Orchestra for Peace Everywhere. Sorry, I have taken too long.
No, that's so beautiful. I can hear the love that you carry for all of this in the way that you speak. So thank you, not long at all. I'm curious, you mentioned the phrase constructive program. And I know constructive program is, in a way, something that Gandhi really encouraged. Can you describe maybe what is a constructive program, and what does it look like? You know, what did it look like in Gandhi's day versus what does it look like today?
Yes, the constructive program, I think, is still the guide of action for the autonomy of the people. So for Gandhi, it was in the beginning of the 20th century, it was implemented for the empowerment of the communities, and it was implemented through local actions of social transformation in the different fields of social life. For Gandhi, the most important, the first step in the constructive program, that is the guide of action also to civil disobedience. There is not civil disobedience without a constructive program. So the constructive program is a training to peaceful resistance and is a long path. So Gandhi worked for 30 years of constructive program before getting the understanding the people and working together for the independence of India. But the very first point of the constructive program that I felt really very much in resonance with the mandala making is the unity of the communities. So he was calling that communal unity, because in India, the issue, the religion is the main field of action for the understanding and expression of the people. You know, is the spiritual, you know, essence. But we can call it of the communities. So first of all, we have to be united. So that's why we are here. The Tosepanti Tataniske, this cooperative union, means united we will win. So first of all, we have to overcome our conflicts from inside, to be united, to amplify our platform, to become one after the opponent, as Gandhi was showing to us through his own life. And then through that, we can understand which are our needs. So in a place, maybe there is a certain conflict to be overcome, so the same communities will understand what they need. At the time of Gandhi, there were 18 constructive programs, and they were in different fields. And then it was issues, I mean, one of the constructive programs, the main programs, for example, was the Khadi, so making your own clothes. Or it was village industries, or health and hygiene. And all these programs were coming from the people, from the people united. So unity in diversity to develop the consciousness for the social transformation, and to make, to transform the social into the spiritual. So, for example, one of the programs, you know, the Safai the cleaning, you know, of the village. It was a spiritual action. And Gandhi is showing this in many, many moments of his life, you know, when he is going into difficult, very difficult moments, especially at the end of his life. So through this constructive program, he could train the people, you know, to be independent. So the independence of the self, so the independence and the freedom coming from yourself, working in the collectivity, because we are interdependent. So only through that, when is the time, like now, for example, that's what we are experiencing here in Mexico, in many places, this is transnational harassment for the exploitation of the lands of the indigenous and not indigenous people. Now, how can we do it without constructive programs? So I think it is still very much a powerful instrument, and I think that more and more, at least in our connections with all friends, that's what we're trying to do. We want to spread more and more this constructive program. So through the mandala, if you visualize this first action on April 2005, this first action is an instrument for, in that case, for communal unity. So if we are together, then we can develop other concrete work and transform our own reality and make ourselves as a unit in a spiral of regeneration of the human consciousness. And then I go back in the word mandala.
It's a circle.
Yes, it's a turning point.
Wow. I'm curious. I feel like you, in the last, you know, 16, 17 years, you've experienced quite a bit of modern day constructive programs, you know, with whether it's with that first action where everyone came together with different religious backgrounds and put a handful of soil in the pot together symbolically and started discussing ways to work together to, you know, the A-Hope music with the Amnavad Harmonic Orchestra for Peace Everywhere that was formed with 12 religious communities. And, you know, to your work right now where you are at this farming collective in rural Mexico, where, you know, these people are really farming their own sugar and their own crops for their own communities. I'm wondering if you can just describe maybe what is one constructive program that you've been a part of that you've witnessed grow and that maybe has inspired or taught you, you know, some lessons.
Yeah, here, I mean, it was really amazing, this encounter with this cooperative union, because I think it's one of the most, at least in my life, is one of the most huge and organized constructive programs that I could see, I could touch. Here in the Sierra Norte de Puebla, this 39 years ago, indigenous people of two different groups, Nahuatl and Totonacu, they decide to overcome their own internal conflict. So Tosepantitatanisque, constructive program, unity of the communities, united we will win. And they decide to do it for overcoming local programs, local problems. One of the problems was that, so I like this, I think always about Gandhi and the salt march, and I think here about the sugar, and their intention was to cut the speculation of the local merchants and then to make and work with their own direct productions. So they started with this first experiment, and then they develop around 490 communities with 8 main constructive programs that are cooperatives, but indigenous cooperatives. So it means they work in assembly till they don't reach unanimity, they don't take important decisions, then they turn, there is never the power, centralized power, they all the time turn their charge, every duty and every work that they do and whatever they represent is a service. So there is totally a resonance with the understanding of the constructive program Mahatma Gandhi. And they have developed several cooperatives. They produce bamboo, then organic coffee, then they have this honey with stingless bee. So we joke and we say that is an ahimsa bee, what is a bee here, because it's a prehistoric bee. and then they produce bricks and they do their own houses with the bamboos, and it's really an amazing example. So what happened that these people suddenly 4 or 5 years ago they start to be harassed by mining companies, by hydroelectric, then fracking. So they tried already to enter. They tried, but they could not do it because united we will win. One Canadian company mining, one Mexican, one Chinese, around 10 hydroelectrics in the old Sierra Norte. I'm not talking only for this specific area of the Tosepan, but this is a cooperative area, you know, all this, this part of the world. So what happened that in Mexico now, there are given too many concessions to these transnationals without the permissions, without the will, against the will of the same people. So the people are starting to be aware. A movement of conscientization is going on, is very strong. And the Tosepan is an example also of struggle, of peaceful struggle. So around 2 years ago, during the Mandala a pilgrimage, we could cross each other, and then it was, you know, the to understand together, you know, how can we work together and be together with the people for the peaceful resistance? How can we do it? So we started working in a kind of, we invented, it's a totally an invention, a kind of training course. That we call it Satya Ahimsa, so truth and nonviolence, for the defense of life and the lands and the planet. And we started also to experiment mandalas, and we understood that the mandalas are also an instrument for satyagraha. It means the insistence on truth, you know, to be ready, you know, to give yourself and to suffer till the last extent for to be against injustice and for making and transforming from inside the opponent and find his love and his compassion in resonance with yours. So to create this kind of bridging. And I was really, really moved when the first mandala that was done, imagine that the people, the farmers, women, men and children, that they are really harassed because there are people with arms and guns in some places to occupy, you know, their lands, and they want to show that they will start working soon, so they don't feel even to go in their lands. And they are afraid to go, so they cannot cultivate the land. But what they have done, it was really amazing. They organized different groups, then through singing, through their own prayers, through their own inner power, they went in that places, and then they collected the water from the original sources, I mean in the rivers, They collected the plants that are representing, you know, their life. They collected basically the elements to make together a mandala in a place inside the cooperative union. And this mandala was a kind of garden of love. So really, it was amazing. It was a kind of human machine moving. So it was this circle made by all these elements, offered with that kind of courage, that kind of love, that kind of force. Another circle with the sacred dance. So they started to dance and to do their own traditional dance. And another small circle with the children also in another dance. And the people just watching this collective work of art. So I asked to some old men that were speaking in Nahuatl. And so I asked them, can you speak Spanish? And they said, yes. So I said, what does it mean for you, this? What is this? And so they told me this, all the wise men, they told me, this is a new word for the good people. So I really find this, you know, another understanding of the same essence.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And that's where you are today.
Yes, yes. This is your home. We are very happy to bridge with your lands and this lands to be the same land, so we can visualize really a bridge of light. And we really wish that we can, this is a call to be together and to work together for the preservation of life and the preservation of the life, you know, in our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to just quickly jump in, realizing that we are close to the top of the hour, just to remind everyone that when we do shift over to inviting our callers to share reflections, you're welcome to do that either through pressing *6, which again would put you in queue to share verbally, or you can share online through an email address at ask, that is ask@servicespace.org. And I'll periodically raise this up as a possibility. Back to you, Audrey.
Great. Thanks for the public service announcement, Birju. I'm just so smiling so wide just listening to the picture that you just described. And just to give folks a little context, Gandhi's salt march that Sonia had mentioned that he did, he walked from the Gandhi Sabarmati Ashram actually all the way south to Dandi in India during a time when the British had, they were importing British salt, and so you weren't allowed to buy or use salt that was just local, that was made from India. And so Gandhi said, as an act to kind of the structure, and also just as a constructive program to kind of, you know, put ourselves to work for a good cause, he walked all the way to the ocean and started making his own salt. And so they called it that walk, Gandhi's salt march. And when he got to the ocean, it's quite powerful, you know. It was against the law during this British rule, but a group of satyagrahis, a group of these kind of Gandhians that were, you know, practicing their truth, decided to make salt with the ocean salt water, and it was a beautiful act. And so Sonia was just describing this kind of act with sugar in Mexico with farmers, and it's so beautiful to see that kind of mirror image today, you know, in the 21st century, and to hear the liveliness with which you speak it, and to know that you're sitting somewhere in on that land with those people. It's so powerful. So one question I have also is, I'm hearing you describe a lot of, you know, kind of togetherness, a lot of unity, a lot of this coming together of differences and setting differences aside for the benefit of, you know, for all, for the unity, united together. And one of the things that you had reflected about in the bio on the Awaken Call page, in your five questions, you share about the power of kindness. And you wrote, the capacity to appreciate the kindness of others is the only way to develop your own kindness and transform yourself for the benefit of others. And I'm curious, can you share a bit more about, you know, how this view of kindness has emerged? For me, it's very striking because, in a way, you're describing hundreds of people, thousands of people. You're describing these movements, and you're describing this flow of art and transformation within that. And at the same time, I can feel from the way you speak that it's all just these small acts of kindness, in a way, these small moments of seeing other people as if they're your own family. So I'm just curious, have you always seen the world like that? Were there people that taught you this, or were there moments where, you know, that emerged more for you? Does that make sense?
Yes, of course, because for me it was really, you know, a big teaching. I was not at all able to understand about this kind of kindness. So I was, you know, I grew up in a different context, and it was very difficult to understand the genuinity, the sincerity of the kindness of the people. Ravindra Varma, in that case, it was with my teacher, my first Gandhian teacher, who was Ravindra Varma. But it's so much extended. In India, you can feel it, you know, you can breathe it, you know, that kind of kindness of the people, the capacity to overcome themselves for serving the others, and feeling that unconditional love and nourishing themselves. So I was. It was for me that time was, you know, when you say I made the click. So I really could, when Ravindra Varma simply, when I told him, you know, I said thank you for something. I think he felt that my thank you was really coming from my heart. And then he told me, thank you for thanking. And then I felt that thank you for thanking was because he understood the struggle that I had in order to overcome the fear and the barriers of my heart. And finally, I could open my heart with a simple thank you. But I think also his wisdom, you know, his wisdom, heart wisdom, made him understanding this and gaining the teaching. So from that time, I really felt that if I'm not able to appreciate the kindness of the others, so I cannot develop myself, I cannot transform myself, so I cannot serve the others, so I cannot be useful to this society. So there is no meaning for my life. So I think that this is a very important, an essential point for the meaning of life, is to understand the kindness of the others and to appreciate it and to make the others understanding. That's what I feel, no? Remembering my teacher, no? Understanding the importance of that. So I don't know if I'm able to share with you this feeling, but it's something really, it's a kind of root for the growing of the spirit, for the growing of the self, and for this path, you know, in life.
I'd love to jump in there.
I know that all of you are people of service, so with the people of service, the kindness is, you are the teachers of that. So I would be happy, very happy, if we can learn from you and know, we don't believe in the borders, and we just believe in the earth. We would be very happy to know and to learn from you, and how now this kindness is resonating and transforming that part that we are very close, that part of the world.
Hmm. Well, Sonia, I'd love to dive in there. And
okay, Birju.
I'm curious. So with all that you've shared, of course, you yourself have been evolving, I would imagine. And I'm curious, where from the perch of you standing where you are today, how do you think about the next stage for you? What is it that pushes your boundaries?
Are you talking about in terms of consciousness, or the next stage also as a reflection of the consciousness into the action?
I would think of both. I'm curious as to both.
Okay. So, yes. You totally got the point, as it is a process, and we believe in the process and don't believe in the result. So we go step by step, and in this learning, in this understanding of this antipodes and this resonance between India and Mexico, and especially in this time with the teachings that we are in, the learning here with the, from the farmers, I think that the next step is to cultivate our land, so to find whatever we can, a piece of land, and to make that piece of land as our treasure. So personally and also collectively, we are now planning to link and articulate our intention in action with others, sisters and brothers in Mexico and in other places. We are preparing a synergic, we call it a kind of synergic training for life and non-violence. So the next step will be trying to share our intention in actions with others, and together to visualize ourselves as little points of light, and to try to multiply these points of light through our interconnection, through our solidarity, to our love and the reciprocity, and like this to go into another level of consciousness, because we can learn very much from the others. So we are basically in this new step. I'm not sure I could express you the very precisely, you know, which is the program, but the program also is systematized now. I always say to Brother Pancho that I'm a technician of Ahimsa, so sorry if I use a technical language sometimes, but we are trying now to systematize our the nonviolent movement one-to-one, without publicity, without opening different words and dimensions, just one-to-one, and this in this one-to-one to develop ourselves and to feel that we can do it. So basically is a path to Sarvodaya, and is something that I feel through the power of this place and the people that are joining this place, and the other people who are doing the same but in another way. So not necessary, but we can really cultivate our lands, even in our we can even do a very small garden in a place. We can be independent through that action of love and to cultivate that treasure and share this experience. So we are preparing a kind of round table That will be a kind of monthly session. And through that monthly session, we will understand together which it will be the next step after this next step.
I appreciate that reflection. We're going to move to our first caller coming through the verbal portal.
Hola, hermanita.
Hola, hermana.
Can you hear me? Hola, hola. That is, I cannot describe how wide I am smiling to hear Ian and Virju and you sharing that. And I cannot think of a better way to celebrate in advance the Gandhi Jayanti of tomorrow. Tomorrow's October 2nd. And I think that this was an incredible, insightful way to, I don't know how the love magicians put it together, but I am incredibly happy to see how you're weaving all these parts, the part of Islamic India from the part of Islamic Mexico, and you're the bridge there growing up. So how is that a sister that was born in the part of Islamic Italy has put all this magic together? So I'm sending you a big beam of love to also to all the people that are listening, and I try to put it succinct, but that was my first thing that I want to share with you, that how much I love you and feel proud and learning actually through you. I was surprised that I couldn't recognize your voice. This is the first time that I hear you speaking in English with this in that action. He's like, what is this Kanchan? Who's speaking now? So I think that's how ingrained you have that Indian spirit in your soul. And so that explains a lot.
The same here.
Yeah, that's true.
I never.
Yeah, I couldn't. We always speak in Spanish, so this is very interesting. Who are these people talking now? Well, so here, just briefly, because I think mostly has been spoken now, but there's so much stuff that you are bringing up and aligning the true spirit. It's really satisfying and gratifying that someone speaking with this conception of ahimsa and satyagraha in the theory, but not as the theory because it's the practice. You've been practicing this for a while, and I've seen firsthand the direct results of how you're putting this activism and how you're touching the hearts of thousands of people. And it's not easy thing to be joining the teams of people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and Aung San Suu Kyi and people that have received death threats like Dr. Ari, you're talking about Sargodaya, and now you're joining that team that people have been threatening your life in different ways. And the way that you keep holding that love, because we're doing this work, as you said, for the love of all, and keep going forward. And that's, for me, is a testament of how committed you are. But not only that you are honoring the life of so many others by bringing to our awareness how the Ayotzinapa 43 students and their parents, so you are serving them in invisible ways, but not really, because now you have these threats from the government and other places, but also bringing the Gandhi Jayanti on October 2nd and then put it together with the thousands of students of Tlatelolco that were murdered in 68. And these are ways, it's a tribute to say, like, we are in the flow and this river of life, and we are clinging to truth, that satyagraha, that holding to truth and bringing that radical love and fearlessness that I, since the moment I met you with those huicholes in the part of Puebla we call Mexico, in Cerro Quemado, I felt such a profound tight connection that is hard to describe in the world of words. But maybe if someone has ever seen with a naked eye, how does he feel to be the look at the Milky Way? I felt like that, like the Milky Way at the ground zero was there when I met you. And this is just a tribute to how much we all love you, and we want to make public that you're getting these death threats, and that love is much bigger and more much powerful than any threat, and that you keep holding that love for all, even for these people that are giving you these threats, death threats. So just if these ripples go, we're hoping that those reach many other folks that are aware and that can do anything with their own reach. And I have a knot in my throat because it's for me sometimes ridiculous that some people with so much love and courage and commitment for every piece of life in this web can be threatened in that way. But so we're going to do anything with our reach in other realms to keep protecting you and to keep sharing your work. And yeah, I think I'm going to just leave it at that because I know that some other people also would like to talk to you. But I hope that these tears of love and compassion and satyagraha, ahimsa, reach you, because I love you very much, sister.
I love you, hermano Pancho. Nobody like Pancho. Imagine to meet Pancho at the top of the Cerro del Quemado, at the top of a mountain, in a ceremony with these teachers, the native teachers, and receiving the flag of the earth. So this is the meaning of life, no?
Thank you for being a fierce citizen and farmer of the world, and Jai Jagat.
Jai Jagat. No, that visit and that sharing together has marked a lot our world mandala. So you should also know this. So the work, your work and the work of all of you is very important for us, because if we can break this concept of borders, if we can go just with through our soul, if we can overcome the fear, if we can do wonderful things as you are doing, then really we have a hope. Then we are sure that the world will be changing. Is already changing. No, the changing is permanent. So this is our inner wish. That through this resonance and this work together, we can do another step, as Birjo was suggesting. Yes, I think the next step is to be more and more together in any way we can do it. But we have to be together.
That's great. And it's quite inspiring, Sonia, to hear about the courage that you carry through this. I think Pancho was telling me earlier that, that even though you were receiving death threats for kind of supporting parents whose children were killed in a massacre, even though you were receiving death threats to not speak up for those parents, you responded by saying, it's uncomfortable to know I've been followed, or that there's, someone outside as we speak, or that I hear noises at night, but we're doing this for the benefit of all, and there's nothing to hide. And if I'm going to go, I'm going to go with love in my heart and mind. And, to really dedicate your whole self and to such a death is quite quite humbling to encounter. So thank you, Sonia. I also wanted to... I know we have other questions in the queue, and I also I wanted to sneak in with this question of on children and on youth. And I'm curious, given all that you've witnessed and seen and your own experiences, what kind of advice, or what would you encourage for a youth or the next generation who kind of want to get involved in making a difference in some way? What would you tell them?
This is a very good question and very deep question, Audrey. Next generation, I think we are all the next generation. And I think that through our example only, all of us, any time, any age, I don't feel that, even I don't feel the borders among the generation. I think that only if we really want to do it, then we have to do it all together. So I don't think there is time now for fear. I don't think that there is time for wondering and reflecting, too many reflections. Yes, but in action. So I remember, you know, Dada Narayan Desai was always, when we were traveling in Mexico, he visited Mexico for around 3 weeks, so it was amazing. Narayan Desai was the chancellor of our university, and he was living, he could live with Gandhi for 24 years almost. So a direct experience with Mahatma Gandhi. He was very strict, he was very deep, he was really one of the most wonderful people and educators I could meet. So I remember when we were traveling, so he would love to go to the farmers, you know, to stay with the people, but I was telling him, Dada, we have also to go to that university or that other national center for studying and this, because we have to do a round table that people are waiting for your conference. And he was watching me, you know, with that height, very, very straight, and he was saying, okay, but there is no time now for to be academic. We have to be real, he was saying. Okay, so let's go and tell them. So I think this is the time to be real. So it is the time to be one. This is the time to be total. And there is the time. It is the time. You know, the action is the time. So I'm glad to remember. Thanks to you, Audrey. You know, Narambai, because I think that yes, every time we work and we share and we act, then is very much present. So that is why, for example, here, talking about the new generation, in this moment, I'm in the school of the children of the cooperative union. And in this school, I can tell you what I can see. They have made their own school with the bamboo and with their constructions. Then they teach, they speak a native language and then also Spanish. And now they also started with English, so we can also bridge more and more. Then there is a field in front of the school. I can see the field that is cultivated. So they produce their own tomatoes, their own plants. Then they use it for the kitchen. There is a community kitchen. And then the mothers of the children, once a week, they turn and they cook for their children.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think this is the message for the new generations. And this is Naitalin. So Gandhi was calling this Naitalin. So basic and new education. So what is this basic and new education? Head, hands, and heart together. So this is, I think, this is what we should do.
Thank you so much. And so I'd love to switch back to one of the questions that were coming in from the online portal. This is a question from Priyanka in Bombay. To me, your work seems to be a meditation of patience and trust in and of the power of communities. How did you develop these values yourself? How do you communicate this need for patience and trust to people when we are bombarded with information and news and ambitions, all of them that prevent building of a community and thus of a mandala?
So it's Priyanka is reflecting on trust and patience, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Yes, I think that you're right, Priyanka. I think that ahimsa is a practice of patience and trust. So if we focus in this, in the goodness of the other, and we really believe in the cause, in whatever cause we are believing, cause for justice, a cause for peace, a cause for the welfare of all, but if the intention is pure, so there is no problem, everything will go. So that, all that kind of ambitions and conflicts and things that happens in the worldly life, then yes, they will be there, but they will be not so relevant. I think is that if we focus, if the focus is in on our intention, and the intention is pure, then patience and trust will develop. So it will be just an instrument, a medium for reaching the goal of ahimsa.
Very good. Thank you so much. And Audrey, I'd love to turn it back to you.
I think from all of us, it's such a gift to hear, you know, the spirit with which you share and the amazing stories that you share. And, you know, it just so naturally overflows our cups of gratitude. And we are wondering, how can we, you know, how can our service based ecosystem be of service to you and your beautiful work and offerings in the world?
Audrey, so many thanks for you for giving me the opportunity, first of all, and to become one together, and also to overcome some personal fears that I was sharing with Brother Pancho on talking with many people or talking. Normally, I'm a very silent person. And because I think that, yes, we can meet in that great silence. So I would be very happy. This is just a proposal. But when we close our session, if we can close it with the same minute of silence that I really appreciated, Birju, do you think it will be possible?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. And We always start and end our calls with a minute of silence. So you just read our minds. but really, it's such a gift and such an honor to hear from your perspectives and can you maybe just in honor of where you are right now and what you've described, can you maybe just share a tidbit of the activities that you have planned for this weekend, given that it's Gandhi Jayanti over there, Gandhi's birthday tomorrow, and I know you're there to support the community and engage in a lot of different things there.
Yes, of course, and we will be very happy the next year. Maybe we can be together here. So then, the program is very special because, I mean, in Mexico, the 2nd October 1968 is a day of remembering. We have to remember a tragedy, a massacre that happened. Students were killed. It was a state. State violence, brutal violence, and they were fighting and were struggling for democracy. And then when we started working in Mexico, so is the 2nd October 1869 and 2nd October 1968. So this coincidence, it was really an opportunity to be together with the survivors of the 68 and to work and try to transform this day in a day of peace, in a day of justice, in a day of a common intention for making our reality a better one. So here in the Tosepan Tataminske, we are going to celebrate the 2nd October, and actually they were already celebrating the 2nd October to remember the 68, because he's sharing with the children, you know, that there is no fear, even if this happened, you know, we have to go into the resistance, we have to overcome our fear and struggle for our rights and duties. So this connection and this work with India and the Antipodes also is very powerful. So tomorrow we are going to remember the 68, and because we ask for permission. This is a very sacred date in Mexico. That day is the beginning of one of the most important democratic moments of the history, and with Mahatma Gandhi. So we are going to celebrate it together, and the mandala will be done, and it will be done, that is interesting, because it will be done by for the change of the executive committee. So after 5 years, now it will be a woman, the president of the cooperative union, and the change of the charge is not an administrative ceremony, no. It's a spiritual ceremony, because the charge and the work here is the service. So tomorrow we are going to celebrate the service and the new turning point of this new group of change, the new executive committee. So it will be done, a mandala, and it will be remember the anniversary of Mahatma Gandhi, Gandhi Jayanti, the 68, and the International Day for Peace, that for us is every day. That's what we wish to share and live here.
Mm. Wow. Sonia! It's amazing.
Audrey!
from Milan to Ahmedabad in India to, you know, rural Mexico to this farming cooperative to the school. And, you know, I feel like we're circling around. I feel like this awaken call is just one big mandala where we're circling out in these reflections. and we're coming full circle, and we're just making more circles, and then we will close with a minute of silence and gratitude. And you know, when we hang up, we'll all disperse the spirit of the mandala into our own corners of the world, whether we're in Mumbai in India, like Priyanka, or in Berkeley, California, or in Mexico, or wherever we may be. But Sonia, really, thank you so much for taking the time out of such a full weekend to talk with us and to celebrate with us and to really be who you are and live the way that you do and with the incredible heart that you carry. It just, you know, gives me so much more hope knowing that you are alive in the world, living and doing and being the way you are. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining this call. I think I'll hand it off to Birju in case he has anything to add and to lead us into our minute of silence.
Yes, thank you, Audrey. I just want to say that as we come out of our minute of silence, I'd love to offer all our listeners to be able to share their gratitude as well. So I'll take us off of the mute function after our minute of silence and just invite us to share gratitude with Sonia. And on the count of three, I'd love to invite all of us to say thank you, Sonia. And I will pull us off of mute here shortly. One, two, three. Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you to you.
Tataniske.
And thank you all for joining.
fratello.
Yes.
Fratelli, fratelli del cuore.
Please do join us next week for our call with El Luna, who is an amazing designer who is bringing up more and more elements of transformation in her life. Happy Saturday.
Thank you for listening to a recording of Awaken Calls. To access archives, visit us at www.awaken.org. And to get more involved, volunteer at www.servicespace.org.